I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. The Raiders come off of a very long week. Welcome the Washington football team into a short week coming off of Monday Night Football at Allegiant Stadium, just knocking on the door of playoff contention. A Washington football team with a losing record, even though they're in the playoffs, easily what should be on paper the easiest matchup left on the schedule for the Raiders. Should have been a win, needed to be a win, was not a win. Raiders fall to Washington 17-15 in the afternoon window, and it was a close one. Defense, I think, played solid or above solid. That's certainly a lot of moments that could have won the game for the Raiders. Did not.
Yeah. Good teams, you know, they make the plays when they needed to be made. And, you know, teams that fall short don't make those crucial plays. The two-point conversion, that throw was a little too hot, a little too high. You know, the dropped interception by Merrick, that's a game sealer right there.
That was the game. Game was over.
I mean, there was a few things. Because, look, you can say what you want about the defense allowing them to drive down the field. They gave up 17 points, okay? They gave up 17 points.
In 2021, you give up 17 points, it should be a
win. You should
win.
Coming off a long layoff to only put up 15, it's just not good, man. It's not good.
It's the long, long, long leash we've given the defense this season because of how bad they were last season, right? We talk about it almost every show. Historically, the worst defense in the history of the Raiders last season, drastically improved this season. Still not good and getting worse. Like around week six or seven, we were average on almost every important metric in defense. Points against, passing yards against, we were 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th ranked in almost everything. And we're like, great, awesome. Like based on what we've been doing, this is fantastic. I'll take average all day long from our defense. It's gotten progressively worse since. Today, solid performance by the defense. And I keep texting you back and forth. Like, I don't know what the verb is, what the opposite, was it antonym? A synonym is the same thing. Antonym, is that the opposite? What's the antonym? What's the antonym of an opportunistic defense? That's what the Raiders defense is. We're not opportunistic. We had three interceptions gifted to us by Taylor Heinicke. We grabbed one. We were gifted ball into the palms of our DBs and just fumbled out. Now we'll get to the offense here in a second. Car, running game, everything for sure. But just acknowledging, and again, I'm giving the defense a really long leash because they've improved so drastically from last season. But the opportunities that we lost on defense really hurt. Really, really hurt. And it wasn't even like we needed Max Crosby to make a big play or Yannick Ngakoue to make a big play. It was like, make the basic play. Make the interception fell into your bosom and just like hang on to it play. And he didn't.
Yeah. And Crosby did make a big play. You know, Crosby did make a big play. He did hit the Heinicke's arm. That ball, you know,
for the one interception we had, he was we had, yeah.
And freaking Haywood almost dropped that.
There should be two assists on that on the interception. It was Crosby's pressure, and then who'd you say? Hayward tipped it, and then it fell into Nate Hobbs's hands. Like
you're being very polite. Hayward did not tip it; it hit his hands and popped out.
That was the epitome of the Raiders turnover performance this season. Like that was it. Max Crosby ruining the, not just like wrecking the backfield of the offense, but like screwing up the, like the flow of a quarterback, right? Like he's so good at screwing up the timing and flow of a quarterback. I'm going through my progressions. Oh shit. Max Crosby's like beat a double team while he's being held and choke slam and the refs aren't calling it. I got to speed things up and move. Crosby calls it, bounces off one DB's hand, falls into another DB's hand. And we finally, like, that's literally what it takes for us to get an interception. Max Crosby maiming a quarterback, bouncing off the paws of one DB into the palms of another DB. That's what's required for this team to get an interception.
I just want to be clear about how I feel about the direction of our team. Just because we're better than we have been doesn't mean we're that good. And one of the big things that really good coaches stress is just make the play that's there, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard Belichick say, do your job. Like Parcells and others have said, make the play. When it's there, you got to make it, right? Yeah. You don't have to do anything superhuman, but just make the play that's there. No one on that team right now feels worse than Trevon Merrick, and no one should. And these are some of the things that I talk about when I say, don't look at the total stats. Look at when the game's on the line. That's what matters. All that other stuff just sets you up for those game-winning plays. I'm not saying they're not important, but not all stats are the same, and not all stats are the same when you get them and stuff like that. This game is on Trevon Merrick. He had the chance to be the hero of this game, and he blew it. And it sometimes well, it's look, some look, other look. People.
There was a lot of individual. Why isn't it on Zay Jones? Zay Jones had the game-winning catch fall out of his palm.
He didn't drop the ball in the end zone. There still had to be more done.
He dropped it on the 10-yard line where it was a chip shot.
JR, again, that's not the game right there. Trevon Merrick catches
98% of the game.
Yeah, but that's not 100. Trevon Merrick catches that game. That's it. You kneel on the ball.
I'm not trying to let Trevon Merrick off the hook.
What I'm saying is we need to speak the same language. Mm-hmm. And right now we're not speaking the same language. Not all plays count the same. And when the play is there, you have to make it. You have to make it. All players, it's a team game, right? But there's certain plays that come down to individual players making those plays, right? Okay. Yeah. That was Trevon Merrick's time to win the game. That's he didn't lose it as far as he didn't, you know, give up a touchdown or anything like that. But that was his chance to win it, and he blew it. So I have some antonyms. If you want to hear them.
You Googled it? You got the internet?
Opportunistic. So antonyms for opportunistic.
Please, I can't wait to hear it.
Okay, I'm going to read them all, okay? Unaggressive, unassertive, ambitionless, unambitious, apathetic, disinterested, indifferent, uneager, unenthusiastic, unexcited, uninterested, casual, easygoing.
So the last... The last few I disagree with because I think there's aggressive and stuff, but it's just not calculated aggression, right? Imagine Gus Bradley, Mr. Positivity, standing in front of the defensive meetings on Tuesday, just listing out those words. Not going to happen.
Sluggish.
But I wish I could be
lukewarm. Okay. Half-hearted.
Lethargic.
I mean, you got to get in there, man. That's good play.
So Jose Lopez says, we suck. Let's tank. No enthusiasm, no heart. I want to go to I wouldn't say no enthusiasm, no heart. The defense played with a lot of enthusiasm. Yeah. I think they played with a lot of heart. It was Zay Jones has a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of heart, underperforming skill wise. And that's why he dropped that ball. Trevon Merrick, good enthusiasm, good heart. He's played great. He's one of the best rookies in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's probably top 20. Probably top 20, top 25 rookies in the NFL, any position. Certainly on defense, he's way up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
But a rookie.
He was in the top 10.
He dropped rookies.
He was to the top 10, him and Hobbs. Merrigan Hobbs with
top 15 or into PFF right. if you buy PFF, but it's an easy way to kind of like, but yeah, I mean, he's look, and this is the thing is we can't zero in on like get rid of Trayvon Moore, he sucks. No, he's the safety of our future.
Yes, he is. I'm saying this loss, he feels terrible about it, and he should, because he knows that's a play you have to make if you want to win tight football games.
Ron Miles, the Raiders DB coach, needs to get all of our DBs in the jugs machine from here to the end of the season, right?
If you can catch strippers' titties,
you can catch balls.
Anything.
You can catch, like, get that thing going 40 miles an hour.
That's the only jugs I like.
And just start catching those goddamn balls, because they're there. Like, the opportunities are there. Again, Jose, we suck. Let's tank. We'll get into more as the season goes on. We did a whole 20-minute thing that we haven't posted yet on YouTube or anywhere about what a tank looks like for the Raiders. Here's a tiny taste of it. I don't want to get into too much depth, but here's a tiny taste of it. When you tank, that means that you're going to get rid of your expensive good players and trade them in for draft picks or cheap young players, right? That's when you're saying, We're gonna forfeit early returns. Like, okay, we can win now and next season for winning 3, 4, 5 seasons down the line. Mm-hmm. We don't have any players that fit that. Our expensive players now are literally either really young, good players, like Miller, Waller, guys like that, or expensive players that we want to get rid of anyway. Gutkowski, Middleton, like guys like that. Parker, like those are guys that are gone whether we're trying to win today or 5 years from now.
Uh-huh.
We don't have like a tankable blow up roster. Like that's not how we're built. Our only good guys that cost us are guys that are long-term guys. We don't have expensive right now guys with one massive major exception.
I was waiting for it.
There's only one exception, and it's the biggest possible exception on an NFL roster. Derek Carr. That's the only exception, right? We're going to get into the Derek Carr conversation today, but
I'm not trying to.
But that's what I'm saying is like we don't have a blow upable, tankable roster. Our only good players that we want to keep are young. We don't have anyone old that we're trying to. You know what I mean? We're not that kind of roster at all.
Yeah, and that's why you have problems over there.
All my monitors just turned off for a random reason, but keep going.
They all wink.
You can see. Yeah. I don't have to look at you when I talk to you, which is best case scenario.
That's how I like it. it's going forward. If we want to win tight games like this, because look, if we're going to go to the playoffs, they're all going to be like this, right? They're all going to be games like this. And the thing is, it's not one player doing this over and over again. There's times when we have losses and we have very like Leatherwood has two penalties within three plays when we're in the red zone. You know what I'm saying? Like little things like that.
Not so little things like that.
Well, I mean, things that don't show up on a stat sheet.
Yeah.
Those are huge. You know what, DeRaider? I agree with you. Overall, the defense did an excellent job. The issue that I'm having with if that was a winnable game if Trayvon Merrick, I'm not talking about the defense, I'm talking about Merrick specifically, have to make the play, man. You have to be opportunistic. You have to have that defense that makes the play that's there. It wasn't a superhuman play. It wasn't an OBJ one-handed out-of-bounds catch. It was a play that hit both of his hands, and he has to have it.
For the millionth time, like, because the defense has been so terrible, we've forgiven the defense of all their sins. Like, oh, you forced a punt? Yay! We're shooting fireworks. We're doing backflips, as we should, because of how bad the defense has been. Like, we should be celebrating this defense based on the history that we've had, right? But that doesn't change the fact that game-ending interceptions are bouncing off the numbers of first-round draft picks.
Second round.
Second round, excuse me. Whether like whether it's the number one defense in football or the 32nd defense in football, or if the score is 45 to 42 or the score is 3-0. All of that is irrelevant, that a game-winning interception bounced off the chest, an interception that you or I could have picked off. Like, that's the point. And yes, we'll get to the offense, and they had plenty of sins, and we will take them to task for it. That, again, that doesn't change the fact. It could be 70-7. It could be 70-72. It could be 3-0. Game-sealing interceptions bounced off the chest of our DBs multiple times. That has to be acknowledged, and it has to be corrected, along with a dozen other things.
Yeah, and not all sins are weighed the same, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you steal
coming from two very deep sinners. Trust
look,
me.
Look, I think we've run the gambit of sins. you know, stealing a pack of gum is not as, you know, weighted as heavily as killing somebody.
Once it's a really good pack of gum, I mean, some really
that
good
juicy
gum
fruit
out there.
with the like the little gel inside.
When's the last time you had Big League Chew?
Oh, I actually had some maybe a few months ago. Somebody from my job had some and gave me some. It's still like maybe 10 chews, and it's like
it's still
wax.
Trash. It just feels fun, you know. It's in a pack, you know.
Hey, those first that's like me piping it from the back. It's short, but it's good. Like that, those first 10 chews are, those first 10 strokes are money. Okay, but
short from the back reminds me of your youth.
Yeah, right. I even forgot what I was fucking saying. Not all sins are the same, and not all defensive plays count the same. And just because you held a team to 7 or you held a team to a low amount of points, doesn't mean that the defense played great, and you can't blame the defense for this loss. Because sometimes, you know, what about all those games that we won in the 30s or low 40s? You know, it's like, it goes both ways, guys.
Yeah.
The thing is...
Great point. We weren't blaming the defense last week when they gave up 40.
You know, because we won. We have to start looking more at what happens in macho time. I call it macho time because that's the time when the guys that are the players step up. Mm-hmm. That's when they step up. And that's when you see you don't necessarily see. That's why you see guys like Rasul Douglas, who couldn't make our squad, making big plays for the Packers defense.
Yeah,
because you're putting them in a position. Okay, now when it's time to make your play, you got to make it. And I think that us as a fan base, and also as a broadcast, as a podcast, we need to make sure that we set the expectations, our expectations properly. Better than shitty can still be shitty, but just not as shitty. Because over the last, since week 10, so the last three, four weeks, we've been the worst defense in the NFL. Okay. So just because we've been better,
pretty close, like 30th or 31st, like
no, we've been 30, we're 30. We were last. They put the graphic up on the screen. Since we basically
points scored against,
I think overall points scored against. Yeah. So, if not for that shitty game against the Giants, probably would have been the worst since our bye. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is us saying, well, the defense played a lot better. It's not the defense's fault. You know, it's the offense's fault. Well, no, because Merrick dropped that interception. And I'm going to go back to this. It's called commitment to excellence, not commitment to better than shitty. And I don't know that if excellence is making the play that's in front of you, but it starts. That's where it starts. And us not being able to make and identifying when the big moments and key plays are for a game, that was a key play, man. You're telling me that Rod Woodson, that Charles Woodson, that Ronnie Lott, that those guys wouldn't have caught that and the Nnamdi Asamoah wouldn't have caught that interception?
I mean, now you're just being unfair. Like, you're comparing him to like the best DBs in Raider history. But I get what you're saying.
That's what we have to aim towards.
I get what you're saying. Moving to the offensive side of the ball. Running game, surprisingly efficient. 4.8 yards a carry. We only had 76 yards.
Jacobs had four yards a carry, man.
But 4.8 yards per carry. Jacobs had four. But this is the thing. Derek Carr solo in one carry had more rushing yards in the first half than the rest of the team combined in the first half. So this is the thing. We both, you and I have both been saying, we've agreed on this both. This is like, not abandon the run, but pretty close. Like, basically, like, let's go deep. Let's throw crazy. And the Raiders have essentially turned their run game into kind of like week one, two of Gruden. We threw like five screen passes in the first half. Like, that was the offense, right? And that's not a bad way to go. Okay. Only because our O-line's pass rush protection has been bad. So that's why I really want to see a lot of screen passes, screens, swing passes, anything that like doesn't have those defensive ends just pin their ears back and try to kill Carr, right? Anything that does that, I'm down for, because we just, Brandon Parker's a liability. Like, Leatherwood's a liability. Like, we have to do that. It's done. Like, whatever negative that comes from that, you have to eat, because otherwise Carr's going to get his spine broken twain, because Brandon Parker's going to get him killed, right?
That whole right side's going to get him killed.
It's going to be bad, right? So I'm not against this stat line, right? Josh Jacobs, 13 carries, 52 yards, 4 yards average and a touchdown. I'm okay with that. Like, that's fine, especially with Jalen Richard out with COVID, Kenyon Drake injured. We don't have a report yet on his status, but his knee looked bad, carted out, looking not great. We're not going to speculate, but it doesn't look good. I'm okay with that stat line. Soto, are you? Are you okay with 16 total rushes from our offense?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah. I just think that we need to do what's best for our... Oh, shit.
That's sad, but true.
Eric Harris should have dropped many interceptions.
As bad as Eric Harris was as a safety, he didn't give up the gimmies. The ones that fell in his lap, he did catch. I'll give him that. He didn't do that much well, but he did that. You give him a gimme.
Yeah, he's going to take it. I'm okay with the amount of carries that Jacobs had, because they did seem like they made an impact, right? Like, they were a change of pace, or he got a first down, or he not very many negative plays in the running game, which is all we can ask for, really. We should be, and we are right now. We're our passing offense, which we should be. And the run was the change of pace. I think when people are like, oh, we need to focus on the run, we need to focus on the run. Well, if we don't have a good line that blocks, that can move people when they know we're running the ball on obvious running downs, it's not going to work, which it did in the past. So I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this.
Derek Carr, 28 of 38, 249 yards. Not a terrible stat line. Generally, like, statistically, his stat line's pretty well. He played pretty good. He was under a lot of pressure. He gave up 2 sacks. Those are ones where he had no chance. He moved pretty well in the pocket today. No turnovers, so that was good. He did miss a couple pretty wide open receivers, which sucked. Overall, a decent game by Carr, considering the circumstances. This has been, I think, the crux of, again, not trying to start the car conversation completely right this second, but like, that's been the crux of the Carr conversation, is Carr has to win the game for the Raiders, because this team isn't good enough to win the game unless Carr plays fantastic. And Carr didn't play. Carr played fine, but not fantastic. And then therefore we lost. But it's like, Zay Jones is dropped too. It's like, there's no hard and fast black and white hyperbole storyline you can give this game, because there were so many little... Zay Jones is dropped, Trevon Morgs is dropped. It's like, you can't say like one particular storyline is built perfectly based on this game. It's not that kind of game.
I will say this game encapsulates our season.
For sure.
Encapsulates our season, and dare I say encapsulates Derek Carr's career. A lot of good, a lot of bad, some that could have been better, some that wasn't his fault. Ultimately, didn't win the game.
Yeah.
Ultimately, didn't win. And the problem that I have is, I don't know that Carr is that dynamic type of player to make up for a lot of the what's around him. He needs to have a lot, and unfortunately, his team let him down today. Carr played okay. I wouldn't even say he played good. He played okay. He threw the ball out. That's why he had 250 yards. But if you take a look,
He only threw 38 times. He threw under 40 attempts. That's not a lot. Those attempts should be more. Those attempts should be more.
What do you want, Paul? Get out of here.
He's pissed.
He's pissed. He's fucking pissed because the Raiders lost. I understand where people are coming from, and I'm not trying to bash on anyone in this game. What I'm saying is this is what we've come to expect when, you know, we have close games like this. It's either one or the other. Either the defense plays great and the offense sucks, or the offense plays great and the defense sucks. It's like we can't really just seem to
get everyone on the same page. Like, let's decide to play well. So that Hunter Renfrow, 9 receptions, 102 yards. I tweeted this out. I was like, with Ruggs out and Waller out, like, Renfro's going to go nuts. And he had a 100-yard game. I love Hunter Renfrow. You love Hunter Renfrow. Raider Nation loves Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow should be loved. It's awesome. But when he has more receiving yards than the next 4 receivers combined, Jacobs, Morrow, Edwards, Jones, more than them combined, that's a problem. He's a 5th-round draft pick. Fifth round draft pick, right? And we love him. Great slot receiver.
Steal.
Pay his ass when his rookie deals up, right? Love him, Raider. Not bitching about Hunter Renfrow. But when he is hands down the best passing weapon we have in a game, that's a problem. That's a massive problem. And that was a major issue today. Like, we want to be this wide open passing, like throttle wide open passing offense. And that's who we are. But when Hunter freaking Renfrow is the guy, not, oh, great option or, you know, security blanket or 3rd and Renfrow, but no, like, okay, he's the dude. He's our new Darren Waller. That's a
problem. Can't win that way. Can't win
that
way.
That's a major kick in the dick to our offense.
We need to be, I keep on using this word and I'm trying to find a better one, but I really can't. We need to be more dynamic in every sense of the word when things don't go our way. We weren't dynamic passing the ball.
Sparks. We need random sparks, right? There was one play. We need more of these. What was the one play? What was it? It was when Marcus Mariota was in. He was like lined up in shotgun.
The slot.
Started out in shotgun. Derek Carr was in the slot. They shifted, moved Carr, Mariota out there. The entire defense is staring at Mariota, who's lined out wide. And that's when Foster Moreau got like a 25 yarder, right? We need more stuff like that. Sparks. And that's not gonna be your bread and butter, right? You're not gonna live by those plays. But when Greg Olsen has to realize how sluggish and stagnant this offense is and it's going nowhere, you're like, okay, let me look at 7 of these, you know, suck me beautiful type plays. You got to have more of them. We had one of those plays. Like, let's do something crazy. We have one of the most expensive second string quarterbacks in football. Use his ass. Like, use him with stuff like that. We had one play like that.
Yeah. 6.6 yards per play is not going to get it done passing wise. If you're going to be a passing offense, you know, I applaud Carr for, and you, I don't know if you saw this, but this is what I saw. I saw him almost like it was a forced thing where he was like, okay, no, I can't check it down. I need to push the ball down the field more, you know? When he got pressure, when he was stepping up in the pocket, he's like, no, I can't. I got to throw the ball deeper. It's just, look, man, as much as we've improved as a roster, as much as we've improved coaching-wise, especially on the defense. This is who we are, man. We're a 500 team. We're just not consistent enough. We don't make the plays that needed to be made consistently enough to be thought of as a team who can make the playoffs. I just don't see it. I'm trying to be as positive as I can moving forward about this, but this is just who we are, man. We're going to score a shit ton of points against the Cowboys in the big stage, and everyone's going to pump us up. And then when there's expectations placed on us, we're going to shit the bed.
We're going to be the number one team in the AFC, Ravens. We're going to be the number one team in the NFC, Cowboys, and lose to the Giants and the Washington football team.
That was supposed to be like our playing the NFC East. Oh wow, this and that. And the thing is,
we went 2-2 against the NFC East. We're supposed to crush them. We're supposed to crush them.
So this is why I wanted to take a little bit more time, kind of letting the listeners know who the Washington football team is now, and not look at their 5-7 record. Because over the last 3 weeks, I mean, they've beaten some good teams, and they've gotten lucky.
They were 5-6 coming in today, right?
They were 5-6 coming in today.
So 6-6 now.
Yeah. Oh, but 5-7, excuse me. Now they're 6-7. Something like that.
They're 6-6. They came in 5-6. They're 6-6.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So the issue that I'm having right now is, where are we trending? We're not trending up. We're not trending down. We're just kind of like, and that's who we are, man. We're just a middle of the road team. We have a lot of things go wrong to affect us off the field, but ultimately, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Graphic Raiders said the same. Like, dude, Brett Favre's dad died. He threw 7 touchdowns the next day. It's like
he threw 4. But I get what you're saying. He threw four in that Monday Night Football game.
He threw 3 more.
I didn't want to interrupt
against me. Against me on Madden, he went and he threw 3 Touché. More against me.
Touché. A couple of quick housekeeping stuff. Denzel Perryman is Denzel the fucking man. Perryman,
God
12
damn.
Tackles, play fantastic today. Devon Diablo, rookie. Okay, 11 tackles.
He played all right.
It was his first start. He played amazing. Carl Nassib was out. A couple other guys were out. So Devon Diablo came in, played lights out.
Malcolm Coots got a sack, and he used that tackle.
Devon Diablo played great. Bad news. Chargers won. Colts won. We needed them both to lose to help us out. Us losing and them winning doesn't help. One thing we haven't gotten to at all. There's two more things I want to get to before we get out of here.
Sure.
And they're sort of game adjacent. Two things we haven't gotten to, one thing we haven't gotten to at all was the Raiders coin. And you know what I'm talking about. The Raiders coin.
Yeah.
There, for those of you who don't know, there was a guy on Reddit who had flipped a coin for every Raiders game this season. Win, lose, right? In order, right? Ravens, Steelers, Dolphins, Chargers, Bears. He'd flip a coin. Who won, right? He was exactly right.
He's dead on.
Every single game this season, from the Ravens to the Cowboys, until today. We were supposed to win. We were supposed to be the Washington football team, go 7-5, and we lost. So obviously, it's not like mathematically applicable. Like, it's not a thing. It's fun. But I semi didn't want to, like, it's like talking to a pitcher doing a no hitter. I didn't want to bring it up when it was working. Because according to the flipper, we were going to go 10-7 and make the playoffs, right? We were supposed to beat the Washington football team. I didn't want to talk about it. So the coin flip, the Raider coin, done. It aired. Now it's over. Coin was right for a long time. Coin was wrong today. It's a shame.
You know, it's a good story. The thing that I don't know where to go from here. I really don't. We have 5 games left. Realistically, we have to go 4-1 to make the playoffs. And I don't know that we have it to do it. I don't think that we have enough. I mean, Perryman got hurt. And he missed the last drive. If he's gone, that's a big, I mean, KJ Wright, I mean, that's a pretty good backup, but he's no Denzel Perryman.
Yeah.
It's, you know, fucking Drake went out. Like,
it's weird because we lost forward. We lost or didn't have big playmakers, but there were positions where we should be able to fill well, right? Like, we lost Waller, but Foster Moreau is top three best backup tight ends in football. So it should be decent, right? Losing Perryman sucks. Wright should be decent. Kenyon Drake overpaid. We want him, but we should be able to like every single NFL team can replace their starting running back with someone cheap and do decent. Like everybody does it every single week, right? Like these are all replaceable positions. It shouldn't be Henry Ruggs hurt. Obviously Darren Waller losing him hurts obviously,
but we did replace the Ruggs though. I mean, Jackson is pretty much the same player. I wouldn't say he's quite explosive.
He's way more limited. He's not going to win jump balls. He's not durable. He runs out of bounds. He slides like a quarterback. Again, I don't want to get into that conversation, but like the speed is there. The speed element for sure. And which is the biggest part. I agree with you there. That's the biggest part. Another thing I want to bring up. Dabo Swinney, coach of Clemson. What do you make of that?
Let's not gloss over Richard Petty.
And well, like there's a lot of sexy going on in this in this gif right here, right?
Yeah. You know, it makes a lot of sense. You have a GM who has a relationship with Dabo.
That's putting it very mildly.
I'm not trying to.
Mayock wants to. Mayock can't jerk off Clemson players fast enough. You know what I'm saying?
He also is somebody who is on a little bit of a downswing in his college career. If he's wanting to leave college to go to the pros, now's the time to do it. Mm. Trevor Lawrence is gone. You know, you don't know what you have going forward. You kind of had a rough year this year. Let's use that goodwill and that record that you've built up to get yourself a contract in the pros. I think it's a good, it's an interesting pairing. The thing that I'm really nervous about is the player evaluation. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different evaluating players for college than it is evaluating players for the pros. But I mean,
I got two things. I got two things on Dabo Swinney, head coach of Clemson. Two things. One of them is
your dick and balls.
Like, he looks like the best coach in college football when he has Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback. Mm-hmm. Right? Like he looks like, oh my God, he's brilliant. He's fantastic. He's the best team in football. When he's got, you know, two of the best quarterbacks of the last 20 years under center. Right. Yep. And he'll have a good quarterback with Derek Carr. Secondly, this oozes. Look at me. I'm wearing a Raiders shirt, Raiders sideline. Get all the cameras on me and leverage that to get a better contract elsewhere. That's what it looks like to me. A guy who's looking at the negotiation part of the big money game that is sports. This looks more to me like a negotiation leverage tactic than, hey, I'm just trying on the silver and black for size and see if it fits. I could be wrong.
Looks okay on him.
Looks, I, you know, it's with how the season's going, it's not looking like Rich Bisacci is going to get the head coaching job next season. Mark Davis has already come out and said he's like not even talking to anybody about who's going to be the head coach next season because he's so focused on the playoffs. Because obviously Mark Davis has to burn a lot of calories to get us ready for the playoffs because he's doing so much as the owner of the Raiders. God only knows what he's actually doing to get us prepared for the playoffs. But the way it's like wearing the shirt on the sideline, hanging out with Richard Petty, hey, look at me. This looks a lot more like his agent said, hey, go down to Allegiant Stadium, shake hands with Richard Petty, wear the Raiders jersey, and let's go back to Clemson. Let's go to all these other giant, Division I college football programs that are going to need a big name quarterback or a big name coach. and go to them with this negotiation leverage that if you don't pay me, I'll go to the Raiders. Again, I have no inside information, but a guy who's worked in sports for 15 years and been a part of these things, that's more what it looks like to me than a guy that says, I want to go be the coach of the Raiders. My two cents.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But doesn't mean that he's not interested.
No. Again, he...
I will tell you something right now. Mark Davis is not...
Stinky Beast has a question for you, Soto.
Can I ask you a question? Who's the coach of Alabama? Nick Saban?
Yay!
You almost got me, Stinky
Off Beast. The top you of your head? Me. You have a cheat sheet in front of you.
I do not. I swear. I don't. I'm very green. I don't own
people. Inside joke. There's been multiple times where you've brain farted on Nick Saban's name, and I've had to help you. And
tell me
Sneaky
about
Beast
it.
Remembers. Yeah.
Super, super embarrassing. Mark Davis has no chill to him. Everyone knew he wanted John Gruden. He shit all over the Rooney Rule and said, you know what, fuck you guys. I'm going to fucking hire John Gruden because I want to. This is a Mark Davis move. Hey, you know what? You know, Mayock here? You know this guy? Yeah, he likes you. You know what? I like you too. You should come over. And we could put on white jumpsuits and go vertical.
Now, if Dabo Swinney had like the Mark Davis bowl cut, and like some dad jeans on and a fanny pack and like went full Mark Davis, I'd buy him really wanting to be a member of the team. All right. At the end of the day, Taylor Heinicke, 23 of 30, 196 yards, 2 touchdowns, only 1 interception. It should have been 3 or more. We let Heinicke off the hook. Derek Carr, again, fine stat line, not a brilliant stat line, 28 of 38, 249 yards. No turnovers, which was good for him. Josh Jacobs, 4 yards per carry, good. Only 13 yards for 13 carries for 52 yards. We held Washington to under 115 yards total rushing, which semi a win for us. Again, defense played pretty well overall. Hunter Renfro played fantastic. Denzel Perryman played fantastic. Divine Diablo back, finally starting in the offense or starting for the defense, played really, really well. But at the end of the day, when the big plays came, we didn't deliver. Raiders lose 15-17. We go to Kansas City next week, the side of the team that gave us the biggest ass kicking of the season. Giant uphill battle moving forward. Season's not lost. Season's not over. But it is a very, very steep incline to get us to the playoffs moving forward. We'll be back on Wednesday, maybe even earlier here on YouTube. Just hang out. You'll find out. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.